Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to have you all on the call. And oh, here we are, the beginning of a new year with an exciting adventure before us. And I think all of us enjoy adventures. And I was just thinking about some of the more exciting adventures that I've read about, things that I would never even consider. Why would someone do that? And I'm reminded of a guy by the name of Colin O'Brady, and this is some years ago, but he's an interesting character, quite an adventure guy. One of the things is just when we read and study and hear the stories of other people, it inspires us. And something that has surprised me, but the more you think about it, that successful people, they read a lot, but one of the specific things they read a lot is about other successful people and their adventures. And it can really inspire us. And all of us have stories, and it's said that you are the story that you tell yourself. And what is your story? We don't want it to be a story of comfortable complacency, just to get out of yourself and do something. But the thing I really love in adventure is high reward and low risk. Some adventures are very high risk, extremely high risk. And why do some people do things like that? But it's really fun to read about them. And so going back to Colin O'Brady, some of the scary things was there was an accident where he burned his legs really bad and they told him he'd never walk. Later on, he climbed Mount Everest and a few other things and looking for something new to do, something that had never been done before. He got this idea to go all across Antarctica's vast frozen expanse all by himself. Human-powered, unaided, and how he put it together was lots of training and, of course, preparation. As an example, dragging around with a harness, pulling a spare tire wherever he went, miles and miles, putting together and taking down tents and just practice, so that if he was in, well, bad circumstances, which was every day, he wouldn't make an accident, which could be fatal. So here he is, no support. Unaided, no food dropped off along the way or anything. Everything was carrying. And so he started out with this 375-pound sled that held all of his food and equipment. And wow, that seemed pretty impossible. And so that was the title of his project, was The Impossible Journey. Wow. And right at the very beginning, the very first day, it was just 2 miles. And only 930 miles left. I just think, wow. And again, no aid, like dogs, no sail, nothing like that. Just a sled and pulling it along. But this just really appealed to him to try something that other people had tried and failed and tried and failed. That appealed to him. And so he thought, I'm gonna do this. Well, he hoped he would accomplish it, and it would be a good thing. And such a overwhelming physical challenge. And think about this, what an emotional challenge. Every day, a life or death situation. And if you do the math and figure things out, he allowed himself for 50 plus days. Again, just every detail, they had to do that. And one of the things having incantations, he calls them, affirmations. And that's what he did all along the way. You are strong. You are capable. You are strong. You are capable. You are strong. You are capable. And just plodding along. And right at the end, it was 53 days. He had 77 miles left to finish. And he decided to just complete that in one sleepless sprint. And he covered the last leg, 77 miles, in 32 hours. And so, wow, he did the impossible first. Well, because people said it was impossible, but he did it. Isn't that a really exciting idea here? And the message is just, what is really possible? But my favorite story that really inspires me so much, and it's not just the accomplishment, but the amazing mindset, the leadership, and that's the great Ernest Shackleton. And oh my goodness, so this is back 110 years ago, 1914, Ernest Shackleton set off aboard the ship Endurance on an expedition to be the first to cross Antarctica. And he didn't make it, but I would say he was just foremost in going down in history as one of the greatest leaders, period. Not just in a difficult endeavor, but just a great leader. And one of the statements that he said, I really love this. He said that life to me is the greatest of all games. The danger lies in treating it as a trivial game, a game to be taken lightly, and a game in which the rules don't matter much. The rules matter a great deal. The game has to be played fairly, or it is no game at all. And even to win the game is not the chief end. The chief end is to win it honorably and splendidly. And it fits in with a newspaper advertisement that he put in the newspaper was, "Man wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." Wouldn't that be an understatement? The ship begins, it enters the pack ice, this great barrier of thick sea ice that stands all around the Antarctic continent. And for weeks, the ship just poked and prodded its way through these leads and little places in the ice, gingerly making its way south. But on January 18th, there was a horrible northerly gale that pressed the pack ice, pressed it hard against the land and pushed floes tight against each other. And suddenly, they were icebound. There was no way forward, no way back. It was stuck. And one of the crew members said it was frozen like an almond in the middle of a chocolate bar. Well, Shackleton wrote a crew member did not rage at all or show outwardly the slightest sign of disappointment. He simply told us, and calmly, that we must winter in the pack, explained its dangers and possibilities, never lost his optimism, and prepared for winter. In private, however, he revealed a greater foreboding, and expressing this to the ship's captain, that this ship can't live in this, skipper. It may be a few months, or it may be a question of weeks or even days, but what the ice gets, the ice keeps. Shackleton was determined to push forward and return his man to safety. And for nearly 3 years down there, he led his man, just overcoming so many extreme hardships, hazardous weather, a mutiny, starvation, just a few of the challenges. And the first several months were spent dragging their lifeboats and their supplies across this labyrinth of pack ice towards the open sea. And this proved, well, exceedingly difficult. One example is, for 3 days, they only managed 2 miles. And Shackleton wrote all of this out, and he said there was no alternative but to camp once more on the floe and to possess our souls with what patience we could till conditions should appear more favorable for a renewal of the attempt to escape. Slowly and steadily, the ice began to break up, and then splitting beneath him with an almighty crack, well, Shackleton gave the order to break camp and launch the boats at once. And finally, free of the ice, they had alternately just been horrible, bedeviling them and supporting them, this ice, but breaking up. Well, now they had a new foe to contend with, the open ocean. And it threw freezing spray in their faces, tossed frigid water over them, until after 6 days at sea, they finally made Elephant Island. Wow. The men were exhausted. Some were crippled with seasickness. Others were racked with dysentery. One wrote that at least half the party were insane. Yet they rowed resolutely towards their goal and finally clambered ashore on Elephant Island. Well, here they are, but nobody's there. But it was the first time they'd been on dry land since leaving South Georgia 497 days previously. But their ordeal was hardly over. And the likelihood of anybody coming across them on this deserted Elephant Island, vanishingly small. And so after 9 days of recuperation and preparation, Shackleton and 5 of the others crammed into one 20-foot lifeboat to seek help from a whaling station in South Georgia, just a mere 830 miles away. Wow. This is considered one of the greatest nautical achievements in history. For 16 days, they battled monstrous swells and angry winds, bailing water out of the boat, beating ice off the sails. The boat tossed interminably on big waves under gray, threatening skies. Every surge of the sea was an enemy to be watched and circumvented. Even as they were within touching distance of their goal, the elements hurled their worst at them. Ernest Shackleton, he says that the wind simply shrieked at them, that tore the tops off the waves, down into valleys, up to tossing heights, straining at every seam opened and swung the little boat. Well, the next day the wind eased and they made it ashore. Help was almost at hand, but this too was not the end. The storm had pushed their little boat off course and they had landed on the other side of the island from the whaling station. This left them no choice but to attempt a 32-mile journey on foot up and over the island's mountainous interior. And so, equipped with 50 feet of rope, they had some wood screws somehow that they pushed them through their boots for cleats. They made this perilous trek in 36 hours. Wow, 32 miles, 36 hours up over a mountain. And despite several modern attempts, no group has been able to achieve this same route. Nobody's done it. And finally, they staggered into the station and said, "My name is Shackleton." Well, there was no conceivable circumstance under which any stranger could possibly appear from nowhere at that whaling station, and certainly not from the direction of the mountains. And yet, here they were, their hair and their beards stringy and matted, their faces blackened with the soot from blubber stoves, creased from nearly 2 years of stress and privation. The old Norwegian whaler recorded the scene when the men stood before the station manager, and he said, "Who the hell are you?" And one of the terrible bearded men said quietly, "My name is Shackleton. Me, I turn away and weep." Once two other members of the lifeboat had been retrieved, attention turned to rescuing the 22 men remaining on Elephant Island. Well, that was difficult. They tried three different attempts to get back to Elephant Island, three different ships. And on the island each morning, Frank Wild, whom Shackleton left in charge, issued the call for everyone to lash up and stow their belongings. "The boss may come today," he declared daily. His companions grew increasingly dispirited and doubtful. "Eagerly on the lookout for the relief ship," recorded Macklin on August 16, 1916, "some of the party have quite given up hope of her coming." "There is no good deceiving ourselves any longer," one of them wrote. And finally, Shackleton, on the third attempt on the ship Yelko from Chile, on August 30th, 1916, the saga of the Endurance and its crew came to an end. The men on the island were setting down to a lunch of boiled seal's backbone when they spied the Yelko just off the coast. It had been 128 days since the lifeboat had left. And with an hour of the Yelko appearing, all ashore had broken camp and left Elephant Island behind. 20 months after setting out for Antarctica, every one of the Endurance crew was alive and safe. I just think of this raw determination, his team's ultimate success in the face of overwhelming adversity. Wouldn't this inspire us some will and determination to succeed in our endeavors or investments? I just think, wow. Shackleton, his motto, "Find a way or make one." And together they persevered. I just think, wow, what leadership. These men followed him through hopeless situations, but ultimately were all rescued. Not a single fatality. One of my favorite ideas, Calvin Coolidge says it so well, that nothing in the world can take the place of persistent. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education alone will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, "Press On," has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. And there's a really good one with Goethe. He says that there are but two roads that lead to an important goal, and the doing of great things, strength and perseverance. Strength is a lot, that of a few privileged men, but austere perseverance, harsh and continuous, may be employed by the smallest of us and rarely fails of its purpose, for its silent power grows irresistibly greater with time. Well, so important to just desire and persist. I will persist. I will succeed. And as Og Mandino says, I will persist. I will succeed. I was not born into this world in defeat, nor does failure course in my veins. I will persist. I will succeed. And find something that you really, really want, that you really desire, and then persist. Maybe I'll tell on me a little bit. Persist. I'm not much of an adventure person, but I do love to ski, and I guess some sort of a Lewis and Clark-like skier. I love skiing in the trees, and sometimes I've had some problems where I probably didn't follow my common sense. And this was 5 years ago. This is actually before I was even 70, a young man. But I got notification that there was a powder day, and I thought, I was so excited. And I started off kind of late. I drove to the ski resort. I was just by myself. I don't know what Valerie was doing, but I was going to go. And when I got to the parking lot to get ready, I realized I'd left my ski boots at home. Okay, I'm going to go skiing, but here it is late in the day, and I got to go back home again. And so drove back home, got my boots, got to the parking lot. By now, it's about noon. Get everything on, get up to the lift. Pretty much all the powder's all skied out, but what an amazing day. And so I'm skiing, and there's this area where you can duck under the rope, go out of bounds, and if you stay to the left of everything, you can get back into the resort and go on home and finish the route. And I guess in my exuberance, I'm coming to that place, and I thought I saw, well, somebody had skied, and I saw a ski track, and I thought, okay, I guess I'm okay. So if I just stay to the left of that, well, I didn't realize that I had gone one bend around that cat track too soon, and I went under, and it was wonderful, but I'm starting to get concerned because I'm not seeing any tracks anywhere. But wonderful skiing, and realizing that I'm well below the ski resort now, and I'm thinking, oh, shoot, this is not good. But to hike back up, I'll just go on down, and I thought, I wasn't even the valley that I thought it was. I thought it was going to come down to a place where we have skied down, and Valerie's picked us up in this town called Werdener and drives us back to the thing. But it's a lot of fun going through that, but I wasn't even in that valley. Oh, goodness, and I left at 1 o'clock, started that route. I'm going along, getting more and more nervous. Finally, it's getting to be about 4 o'clock, and I'm thinking it's getting dark. And I come across this place that's kind of an old mining place, and looked like they were exploring, had a little bit of a cover. And I thought, well, maybe this is where I need to stay, but this is not fun. No cell signal, couldn't call anybody. I'm thinking, oh, you're going to start looking for me or whatever. This is not going to go well. But I was blessed. It was cloudy. There was a moon, and it just didn't get dark. And I just thought, I need to just keep moving. I'll just keep moving. And I'm starting to think, oh, this would be so neat if I don't have to spend a night on the mountain here. Thoughts of maybe a cougar sneaking up behind me while I'm plodding along. Just try to get that out. Oh, just enjoy the beauty here. It's really beautiful. I'm here all by my mind. Most of this is mental. Just make sure, be careful. Don't slip into a tree well. Don't fall and break my leg. Just keep moving. Starts getting more and more even. No steep slope. The snow started to get heavy. And I've got these real fat skis. They're called Bubba by Armada. Big skis. And all of a sudden, I'm just kind of going along like snowshoes. But on the other hand, just this piece of snow, dimensionally about like a loaf of bread appearing on every ski. And so every time I take a step, I got to flick that big, heavy pieces of snow off the top. So not well engineered for doing what I was doing, but just one foot in front of the other, going, 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 on and on. And finally, I see a road on the other side of this creek, and I get over onto the road. And this is so nice, civilization. I just have to follow this road down the valley. And that's where I discovered where I was. Here is the Sunshine Mining Operation. But nobody's there. So I see cars in there, though. So I sneak through the chain gate, able to squeeze through, go in and look around. Can't find anybody. I guess everybody's inside the mine. Went into a cafeteria and had sense enough to dial 9. So I got an outside number, called my wife. This was 7 p.m. And I said, "Valerie, I'm okay." Oh, goodness. And so I never did find anybody. So I had to get back out through the gate and skied on down to a house and knocked on the door and says, "Hey, I'll pay you to take me back to the ski resort." And that wound up being about 12 more miles. But anyway, I was actually home and in a bathtub at 9 p.m. So anyway, but I just think, wow, something could have gone wrong. But on the other hand, I had to keep going. And just grateful, just persistence, prayer, determination. It's really powerful if you have to. But I'm just thinking all out to all of you, what if you had to be a diamond in this business? What if you had to be? But instead of putting yourself at physical risk or harm, the only thing you have to go through is somebody saying, "No, thank you." You just, every step is just another phone call, adding another name to your list. One more time, each time you do it, you get better at it with the practice. You're working with other people, learning the words that they use that are effective and make them your words, all in an environment where so much opportunity. Everybody needs this stuff. Everybody needs what we have. Our job is just to take one step in front of the other and tell another person, make another phone call, one after another, until success becomes a certainty. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. I will persist, therefore I will succeed. Desire, all you need is a desire, and you can do it. If you want something bad enough, Rudyard Kipling said that if you want something and you don't get it, it either means you really didn't want it or you tried to bargain over the price. Well, how do you know if you've paid the price? When you've got it. And there's a price for failure, too. So the price of success or the price of failure, just do what you need to do. Don't think, okay, I tried, but it was so hard. My brother-in-law said no. My wife won't let me, whatever. I guess I'll choose to live out my life in cautious mediocrity. I'll never try again. No, not you. Try again and again. Persist, and you will succeed. Anyway, those are my thoughts, and I imagine all of you have had great adventures. That was one of mine that thankfully ended well, and so I'm here to tell the tale. So. That was before I even heard about zeolite and the wonders that that's done. So I'm glad I came down and got that done. And here I am on a new adventure, the greatest adventure of all.